this morning, you know me by now, I'm kind of a wiry speaker, and God just juices me up, and the power of the Holy God just moves upon my heart, and things just happen, and I just see they continue to happen. And I want to talk to you today in the next few weeks about something on my heart. It's called courageous living. God birthed this in me quite a while ago, but I just didn't know when I wanted to start it. But today is a great time. This is the beginning of the Assemblies of God National Week of Prayer. Today, we'll talk about that here in a second. Today, Sunday, starts the week, and we're going to talk about courageously living and how prayer factors into that. And we'll talk about the AG Week of Prayer. We'll talk about how we pray here at Calvary and why we do what we do and why God is blessing us. I believe God is blessing the body here as He is because we pray. I believe that when the people get together in the intercessory prayer on Wednesday morning, that's in your bulletin at 10 o'clock right here, and they pray before the service every single week for the service and other things, God just honors our prayer. We also have citywide prayer coming up here in your bulletin. You'll see the times and dates of that, where the people throughout the community come together in this building. Many churches come together and they pray here. Very shortly, Robin will pray probably next door, and that will be just a blessing as well. But this prayer comes by the power of God laying on our hearts to move. But, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about how that fits in, but courageous living. How we live courageously is what I'm going to jump into right from the beginning. And when I hear courageous living, these things come to my mind. Certain things come to my mind of people that live courageously. And what that means to me is they have no fear. They're brave. I think what Jesus did for us is brave. He asked the Father to take the cup from him. He didn't want to go to the cross, but He still said, but not my will, thy will be done. And He did what He had to do. But when you talk about courageously living, I feel like it just means I don't have the fear in me. But there's fear there, but there's a reason why we're not as fearful. But when I talk about courageously living, I think of a few people, and let me share those with you. I think about a soldier. The American soldier, other soldiers. We have many here that served. I walked in and Betty gave me a picture of her grandson serving, and we know others that are serving. I have in-laws that served. I have my father served. I think of soldiers, courageously living soldiers. They just live courageously, brave. And I think of our missionaries that Jim just spoke of, sacrificing so much to spread the gospel, not only here in the United States, but abroad as well. And boy, that's courageous. I have not been called to be a missionary, but I think they live courageously. Touches my heart. I remember a story about a week ago of a man down in Texas. Somebody ran into a church and started shooting. And a former FBI agent jumped up and courageously shot back. I'm not condoning anything. I'm just saying that I think that's courageously living. But, you know, a little bit more personal to me as a pastor and as a person is a person that I remember that lived courageously. And that's my mom. My mom lived courageously. Now, I've spoken about my mom before, but I'm going to speak just for a minute or two because there's a woman that lived courageously. Not as fearful as she should have been. Much braver than I ever imagined she could be. Because the afflictions that came into her life throughout the years as I was growing up and then became an adult, I cannot believe that she survived. I remember when I was a youngster, she fell at work and broke her back in three places. She couldn't walk and she couldn't move for, years. I took care of her when I was in high school, when she was in a hospital bed in the middle of our living room. It was just her and I at home, and my brother was gone off to college, and my father had been long gone, and there my mother would lay, and I would take care of her. I'd take care of her before I went to school, and I'd take care of her when I came home, day in, day out, because my mother couldn't move. That's courageous. A few short years later, she was diagnosed with chronic bipolar disorder, but we didn't know what that was back then. Massive depression, massive highs, all the things that we know today. She lived that, and she would disappear for months on end, and we didn't know where she would go. Until she finally got diagnosed, and they treated her, and she's perfect from then on. And then the other things that happened to her, just, you know, she had a brain aneurysm. They found her outside of Detroit, living when she was moved up there to be with my brother, and she had been there for 2 weeks on the floor with a brain aneurysm in her head that burst. She was still alive. They got her to the hospital, and we had to take her to Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for one of two surgeons in the entire world that could actually operate on this type of aneurysm. So I did. And through the whole process, she continued to live courageously. I never heard her complain. I never heard her say one thing about God and curse God or any. I never heard that ever. And we transported her over to the hospital in Canada, and they did the surgery and saved her life. She went on for Jesus. I remember the multiple car accidents she was in that should have taken her life. She had near fatal accidents, multiple, that she survived. And she continued to live this courageous life. See, that's what impressed upon me. That's what made me me. I watched a personal relationship with my mom. I had this personal relationship, and I watched her life. She lived courageously. She never said one bad word about anybody, but she just lived for Jesus, and she prayed. And she always prayed for other people. And then I remember just 10 or so, 12 years ago or so now, 2001, I believe it was, 2000, then after all the ailments she had in life, I never remember a day my mom wasn't sick with something or injured with something. I don't remember. I don't remember the day. And then they told her the dreaded word that you now have cancer. She refused to have me take her to the doctor. She refused to have me drive her to her chemotherapy. She says, I will drive myself. I would go over to the house and I would try to pick her up. And she says, what are you doing here? And she got in her car and she drove herself to chemotherapy. And I took her on her last treatment because I just was a stubborn kid. Imagine that. And I drove her to the last one where they said, you are cancer free. I walked out of there and said, Mom. And she would look at me and says, did you have a doubt? Remember that, dear? There was no doubt. But unfortunately, 3 weeks later, she was gone. Here, unbeknownst to me, the cancer had spread throughout her body and took her 3 weeks later. Now, I stood there when the doctor said, you're cancer-free. Well, yeah, she was cancer-free in the lungs because that's where it started, but it had metastasized throughout her body and she died. I had never saw someone live a more courageous life. Never. That's the personal part that I remember. And then in the midst of the courageousness that she lived, there was this thing, this power that she had right in the middle of it, and it was her prayer life. My mom prayed all the time. We would walk into her condo, Nicole and I, when we were visiting, and she would have these prayers throughout. She'd put them on stickies and put them up on the kitchen cabinets. You'd walk in her little office that she had, and she did some work for me, and trying to keep her active, and she had prayers on the computer. I have those to this day. I'm going to recite one of the scriptures she had here in a little bit. But she just lived this courageous life, and right in the middle was her prayer life that made her courageous. And how did she survive? She told me this. She said, faith in someone overshadows the fear of something. And I would say, Mom, what is that? She says, it's my faith in God. It just overshadows everything else. It made no difference to her what infliction came into her life. She would get on her knees, she would pray, and she would see herself through by the power of the living God. Something changed in her every single time she would get sick. And I would say, what is changing in you? She says, God's transforming me. And I say, why? She says, because I pray. I pray. My mother believed. She just believed. She told me that courage empowers us to reconcile our past. She had a rough past. She said that courage would reconcile her past. It stood in her present. And then she said it would shape her future. Courage gave her hope. My mom believed in Isaiah 41:13, and it reads like this. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. You know, I was more fearful than she was. And she would look at me, she says, don't fear, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I can't count how many times my mother would say to me, Brad, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. God will see me through. We'll pray through it. It'll be fine. You know, as a youngster, I didn't understand all that. As a very young man, I didn't understand. I just watched it. What a profound statement she made in my life. My mom prayed. You know, I look at what God has done in our church here for 2019, and I know why. We have lived courageously, fearing not. We have lived with prayer. If you haven't showed up at a prayer session, I know you're praying because you come to me and you say, Pastor, I prayed for this. I've been praying. And I look at the statistics that we have in the bulletin today, a few of them, and I look at, you know, those final things that we looked at for the last year and the impact that the small Calvary Church has had on the city of Canton. And it reads like this. And I mentioned this a week ago, 63 people have been saved or rededicated their lives here in this church, and 16 were kids, and we had so much commitment for spiritual growth in 2019. I've seen that. 61 of you said that. I know that. You contribute that to your prayer life, baptisms of Holy Spirit, and confessed healings. And last week, you know, we had 19 people raise their hand and say, I commit for 2020 that this is going to be my year of transformation. And prayer is going to be right in the middle of it, right in the center. We already mentioned that we doubled our annual missions giving. And how did we do all that as a church? And how did we get through? And how did my mother get through? It's courageous living. Bravery. In the midst of a trial, it's looking the enemy in the face and say, I've prayed, I'm ready. God has brought me through. He's bringing me through. Sometimes we don't see that, but God is in the midst of our prayer, and he says, I've got this. Right, Amber? God's got this. Even when we don't see it. You know, where's all that courage come from? Well, it comes from God. Boy, that sounds cliche. Boy, does that sound a little cliche, right? Oh, it comes from God. No fear. Courage, no fear. And I don't know. See, I don't necessarily know if it's no fear or it's just the fact that God has got this. And we're not fearful because we know that there's somebody that we serve that's much bigger than us. Right? God says in his word, do not be afraid. It's a promise. It's a promise from heaven. It says, don't be afraid. And you know, I read those scriptures, as do you, and it says, don't be afraid. But why? What has God got for me if I'm not going to be afraid? What is there? That's a promise. If he's giving you the do not be afraid, then he's got the solution for you before you even know it exists. And the only way that you can get to that solution of do not be afraid of courageous living is you've got to pray to it. You've got to find yourself a time to pray into that. I remember the story of Joshua. You know the story of Joshua. Many of you do. I think that's a great example of a leader that was moving God's people from where they are to where they needed to be. And let me tell you, if you know the story, the people weren't real appreciative at the time. Right? You know the story that they had been led out of captivity, and Joshua was being commissioned to take them from the desert into the promised land, a new season of life. I wonder if Joshua was fearful. I wonder if he was afraid. I wonder if Joshua said, God, I can't do this. You know, these people, they were stuck. All the millions of them, they were stuck. They were paralyzed by their own fears. They were living this cowardly existence by their choices of their past. Wondering if they should have just stayed back to where they were. That's the story in the Bible. Hey, we were held in captivity, although, how many times do we say that, church? I had it like this, but although this and all that, and but this and but that. But here we are, Joshua gets commissioned to say, no, we're going to take people from where they're at to where they need to be. Not only where they need to be, but where God ordained them to be. And that's the story in the Word. Let's jump to Isaiah 1, pardon me, Joshua 1, 1 through 6. It reads like this. And after the death of Moses, who led the people, of course, to where they were, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, the second in command, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them. That was the promise. To the Israelites, I will give you every place you set your foot on. Because I promised Moses I would do that. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. He's looking at all this area. No one would be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Boy, that's a commission. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Here's a scripture we hear. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to be strong and live courageously. There's this promise right there, church, that God says to Joshua. Joshua is picking up the torch for Moses and says, now you've got to go into battle. You've got to cross this river to this land that I blessed you with. This is where I want you to be. And I wonder if he was fearful. I wonder if he was afraid. God promised Joshua's territory would be expanded. He promised that right there. I just read it. He promised he was going to expand his territory. He promised Joshua that no one would stop him. You know, he was going to go into battle, but nobody could stop him. He would arrive on the other side of the river, and he would advance to the promised land. That's the story, but nobody was going to stop him. No matter what he saw, no matter what he heard, the Bible says God spoke that no one would stop you. To live courageously, God promised to be with them every step of the way. Look at the scripture. But right at the end of that scripture, God comes down and he says, I'm going to do all these things for you, just like he says it to you and me. I'm going to be this to you. I'm going to lead you from where you're at in 2019 to where you need to be in 2020. You used to worship here, but you're going to worship over there. You used to give this much to missions, but now I'm going to double it because this is what the Lord says. That's living courageously. And Joshua was commissioned to do that. Right there in the scripture, God comes in and he says, but here's what you've got to do. I'm going to do all these things for you, but you have to be strong and courageous. Brave. Fear not. You've got to go into this situation knowing that I got this. No matter what you see and what you hear, and in the midst of all of that, you've got to pray. We'll get to that in a second. You've got to show up on the other side of this river, and you've got to take what is rightfully yours. Why? Because I said it was. But you've got to be strong and courageous. Pastor, where's this courageous living come from? How do I get some of that? How do I get some of that fear not stuff? How do I get some of that stuff that you talked about your mom? How do I get that? comes from trusting in God's promise first. God gave you a promise. You got to trust it. You got to rely on God's power. You've got to rely on the power of God to see you through. We pray every morning before we come out on the platform for music. And we say the same thing in our prayer almost every single Sunday. Don't wait, team. Let God's power move. Let's not get in God's way. Let God's power move. Let God have control of everything we do and everything we say and everything we sing and everything that happens. It's not about us. It's about God's power. Let God's power move. You got to rely on God's power because let me tell you something, church. I ain't good enough. That's bad English, but it's good preaching. I'm just not good enough. God's better. I can't double missions giving for a year. God can. God can fill your checkbook with money that you're going to give back to missions because God can. And you walk into the situation like that in strong and courageous. And you bathe it in prayer. Church, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the conquest of fear. See, we're going to be fearful. The Bible says, fear not. But the more I pray, the less fearful I am. It is this power that God's given me to connect with heaven. It's this power that He's allowed me to connect with heaven. He has given me the keys to fear not. He's given me this ability to connect where I could not connect before through Jesus Christ and through prayer. How do we experience this lack of fear? How do we experience this courageous living? How do we get there, Pastor? I already told you. Prayer is the vehicle that transforms you from fear to faith. It is this power that God blessed us with as we start the Assemblies of God week of prayer. He has given us this ability to go from where we're at to where we need to be. But you have to be strong, you have to be courageous, and you have to bathe it in prayer. That's your connection to heaven. And that's all I got to do. It's not a lot, it's not a big, you know, God's not asking a lot of me. He's not coming and saying, hey, I want you to go to battle and cross a river and do all these things. And he could, he has, and he will, and I'm sure he will with some of you, if not many, and asked to do some great and mighty things. I'm just saying the basics are, you know, just be strong, courageous, and pray. Just pray. Because prayer is the vehicle that transforms you from fear to faith. You know, every time you're fearful and you got something going on in your life and you settle in and pray, it changes it. It's amazing. I sat with a saint yesterday and she had all these situations going on and she just told me, I just pray through it. I just pray through it. I told you, I only had a few words. I prayed at the end because she preaches to me. I love it. I love it. Because she speaks life to me. She speaks life to me. You know who I'm talking about. So there's this prayer. There's this power that God has given us. This relationship building process that we celebrate today, and we'll talk about here in a few minutes this week, and what we're going to do, and how we're going to pray, and why. And I just don't think we realize the power of it. I don't think we realize what God has given us and what we could do with it. Because I've heard people say, well, why pray? I don't see a change. You don't see a change because you're not praying enough. Right? Prayer fuels your faith in the promises of God, just like Joshua. Can you imagine if you prayed more, if your territory would be expanded? Can you imagine what would happen if you actually prayed more and God says, fine, I'm going to honor that and expand your territory, whatever that is. Father, I have too many bills. I can't get through this month. God says, if you pray more, I'll expand your territory. I heard a testimony of the person that needed a car in this church, and God expanded her territory. I heard a testimony of someone who was really short of cash this past Christmas, and God expanded her territory. I hear, and every time I hear, it's in the middle of prayer that the territory is expanded. In the middle of prayer, Joshua realized God spoke to him and says, and nobody can stop you if you pray. No one can stop you. You can go into that situation knowing your territory is going to be expanded and nobody can stop you. And if you don't see that right away because you're just not seeing it for whatever reason, I don't say stop praying. I say pray more. Why? Because the Bible says be strong and courageous. Pray. No one will stop you. Your territory will be expanded. And God leads us through this process of praying. I can't imagine going a day without talking to my wife. Trust me, my wife can't go a day without talking. You know, no, I'm just teasing there. Sorry. Oh, I'm in trouble, right? It's true. I think I could do it. Church, I think I could actually go a day without saying a word, even though I'm a preacher. I think I could do it. But I know my wife, I don't think she could do it. Because she's so relationship. I think I could hunker down and not do it. I could, right? Yeah, I know many of you couldn't do it without your phone. Prayer confirms your reliance on God's power. If you didn't rely on God's power, why pray? If you didn't think it was going to do anything and you weren't going to get to God's power, why would you plug it in? Why would you even, what's the purpose? We rely on God's power. We pray on Sunday mornings because we rely on God's power. We rely on God to show up. And we go into prayer relying on God's power because we know that we know that we know that we can't do it without the power of God. Prayer confirms my reliance on God's prayer. Look what Matthew 26:41 says. It says, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but pastor is weak. You are weak. The flesh is weak. So I will pray into that situation to build myself up, rely on God's power. That's what my mother did. That's all I remember. Every time the situation would arise, and they were tragic situations, she would pray into it. And she would pray through it. And when I saw the situation and I thought as a youngster it was hopeless, she would still pray right through it. And guess what, church? She got to the other side every single time. And I've testified to this before, but I'm going to say it again if you have not heard. You know, well, pastor, she died of cancer. Yeah, but guess what? My mom left her condo en route to the hospital. And she prepared the way to be the ultimate healing. She wrote notes to me. She wrote notes to my brother. She lived courageously to the end. And the note would say to me, I have finished the race. I have completed the task. I've got the papers. Don't mourn for me. She left her condo and leaves these notes. Did she not, honey? She leaves these notes. One of them is on my wall in my family room that my wife framed for me. Because she lived so courageously through prayer. She knew she wasn't coming back. God spoke to her. She said, you're not coming back to this physical place. And she wanted me to understand what she did, how she did, and where she was going. Not that I didn't already know, I did. But she wanted to make sure when I went into that place after she was gone, that there is a remnant, there is a message, there is a note, there is something there that she said, listen, son, this is who I am. This is how I live. Now go do what I taught you to do. So I do. It is a power that God gave us that sometimes we don't use as much as we need to use it. It is this situation, this process that God has blessed you with. And she left these notes throughout the place to let me know that I wouldn't forget. And I read them often. They're on my computer. I have them saved. I have them on my wall at home. Thank you, wife. Thank you, Nicole. It's inspiring because I see courageous living. I see courageous living in each and every one of you. It is a power that God gave you to live courageously and in the midst of prayer. Prayer also allows you to have access to God and His presence. How many times as a pastor have I heard that? Pastor, I don't know where God is, and I don't know how to get to Him. Pastor, I don't know how to get there. It's so simple. It's so simple for me to explain to you how to get to God. Jesus prayed. Did Jesus need to pray? That's a different sermon, right? That's too much for this morning, right? He prayed. He wanted to come into the communion with the Father, and Jesus prayed. He did exactly the same thing we talk about doing here. He prayed. Prayer allows you access to God's presence. Psalm 16:11 says it like this: "You make known to me the path of life. In the presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You know, goes like this. You don't have to beg for God. You don't have to beg for this experience with God, church. He doesn't have to come from on high down to earth in order for you to have an encounter with Him. It's not like He leaves His lofty throne and shows up because He is here today. He was here before I got here. He was in the back room when we were praying this morning. He was in your classes this morning. He'll be in the service as He has always been. I never come into church on a Sunday morning wondering if God's going to be here. I don't ever think for a second that I'm going to show up at the early hour that we show up and God's not going to be already here. But I will admit to you that I have prayed that God's power would show up and I could walk into it. And that's how we pray around here. That we'll walk into God's power, that He is already here. I want to share with you a few things that we're going to be doing this week for the Assemblies of God Week of Prayer, some of the things that we're going to pray about. I think they'll have them on the screen behind me. We launch our week of prayer. We're going to pray for specific things. We have been praying in Calvary Church many times, and we continue to pray for those things that God lays on our heart to pray for. But specifically this week, for the Assemblies of God Prayer Week of Prayer for 2020, we launch the new year. How? How do we launch the new year? We launch the new year praying. We end the year praying. We get through the year praying. We are always praying. But on the back of your bulletin, it tells you what we're praying for this week. We're going to live courageously in 2020, just like we lived courageously in 2019. We're going to pray. Today on Sunday, this is what we're praying for. To strengthen me, Lord, the commitment to regularly talk to You and hear from You. That's our prayer today. God, I want to hear from You, then talk to me. You don't hear it unless you start saying something. This communication thing, you got to pipe into God. You got to pray to God, say, God, this is what I'm praying for. I want to have this relationship with You. And we're praying for the strength of me. God, strengthen that process for me. Tomorrow, we're going to pray for something else. Tomorrow, we're going to pray for, as I present needs and concerns to You, Lord God, through my prayer, O Lord, may I be content to leave the results up to You. I've told You before, I get in God's way. I get in God's way. I'm a pastor. I get in God's way, and I tell God what I want to see happen. On Monday, I'm not going to pray like that. I got to change. I got to pray like this. God, whatever it is, I leave that up to You. I got to get Pastor Brad out of the way and just let God be God. That's how I'm going to pray on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm going to pray like this. Help me, Lord God, to understand that the power of prayer is not so much in what I pray about, but who I pray to. See, the power doesn't come from the prayer. The power comes from the source. And I'm going to plug into the source this week, for sure. More than ever. And on Wednesday, I'm going to pray like this. Lord, may I hunger after, receive, and use the power of prayer language available through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe. God poured out his power in Acts chapter 2. We believe as a movement that God pours out his power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to give us this power. Let me tell you, I got power. I'm going to pray for that on that day. I pray that you pray on that day too. The next day, on Thursday, help me, O Lord, to understand that prayer is my personal responsibility, not something someone else can do for me. I have this personal responsibility that God has blessed me with and given me and asked me to do. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray. You personally. I love it when people say to me, Pastor, will you pray for me? Sure. But I hope you're praying for you as well. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered, it shall come to pass. I'm great. I agree with you. But I also agree for you to pray for you. The next day, coming up to the end of the week, Friday, O Lord, increase my sensitivity to divine appointments to pray for others. That's what we do here. Conveying to them your love, your grace, your power. See, I want to make sure that people understand that I care for them. I want to make sure that you do the same thing. You pray that way. We'll end the week on Saturday praying like this. May my present and my eternal relationship with you, O Lord, be strengthened by continually keeping the line open, the line of communication open with you, day in and day out, forever and ever. We would not be here as a church today if we didn't do that. We would not be here as a people if we were not doing that. And if you're not doing that in your personal life, someone's doing it for you. Or both. Or both. I'm going to ask our music team to come back to the platform as we wrap things up this morning. For the next few weeks, we'll be speaking on courageously living. And today we're talking about prayer as we launch the week of prayer. It's a life commitment to live courageously. And it starts with prayer, church. It starts with prayer. You know, I gave a testimony again of my mother, and I'm sorry if I give too many testimonies on my mom, but I tell you what, when you live that life and she's impacted my life as she has, you just want to shout it out. You have those people in your life, I pray. I believe that you have those testimonies. I've heard those testimonies from you. But see, there's something special going on in this church. You know it and I know it. And it's birthed in prayer, because I heard about the prayer before I even showed up. God was laying this foundation of power to transform us as people. Right in the midst of it was a prayer. Here's how my mom prayed. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. This is how she prayed. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day. For our light and this momentary trouble are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I can't believe that's how she lived. But today I believe it more than ever. She fixed her eyes on not what was seen, but what was unseen. Since what is seen is just temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. It took me a long time as a young person to realize that was her prayer and that's how she lived. And she prayed it into me. And she prayed it into my brother. And she prayed it into my church. And she prayed it into the people. And she prayed it into my neighbors. And she prayed it and she prayed it and she prayed it. And I didn't always see the results of that by my eyes and my ears. But today, it's life-changing. And church, I'm going to give you that opportunity to pray that prayer today. That prayer fueled her faith. That prayer fuels my faith today, to this very day. And she's been gone for years. That scripture in 2 Corinthians fuels my faith. It made her rely on God. It makes me rely on God. It allowed her to experience God's presence. It allowed me to experience God's presence. It's allowing you to this very day to experience God's presence. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray and be prayed over. We have trained altar workers in the church, and I'm going to ask them to come forward at this time. We're going to start 2020 praying, transforming, going from where we're at to where God wants us to be. No matter what we see, we're going to go for the unseen. And we're going to make a difference, unlike any difference we have ever made, as people and as a church. So stand with me, please. And as soon as our worship team starts to sing, if you need prayer or you want to pray, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith, come to the altar, grab one of our prayer team members, and pray in Jesus' name. Come on, church.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.